ladies and gentlemen. I'm
Guten
Vinny
Morgan.
I'm your host. Don't interrupt me. It's Brian Ball.
I was joining in the good morning wishes.
Right, but wait your turn. Professionalism, Brian. Professionalism.
God. Can I do it now?
I mean, all right.
Guten Morgen. There we go.
You add a lot. You know, we're coming from inside of the soon-to-be greatest comedy club in the world, and I've got to listen to you spout off in German.
Yep.
I'm trying to do my introduction. We're coming to you live from Rochester, New York, inside comedy at the Carlson. Oh, my God. Big show this weekend. Dean Edwards is going to be performing 4 more shows this week, and he's going to be right here in our studio with us, which is very exciting. Now, if you like the show and you've been listening, we really, really, really appreciate you. We're glad that you do. We're trying to do our best over here to put out something interesting and maybe have some conversations that you haven't heard before. So obviously, tell a friend. And if you don't want to look at us, get the audio version of the show. It's available on iTunes, Google Radio, or Google Play, and Stitcher Radio.
Tell many friends. Tell strangers.
Yes.
Accost strangers in the street and tell them how great this is.
There's people who stand on, milk cartons screaming about the end of the world and Jesus. Can't one of them take an hour?
Maybe we could sponsor them.
Ooh.
Or maybe they could sponsor us so we can get free milk cartons. I don't know.
The end is nigh, brought to you by Comedy at the Carlson Cast.
They'll make us some really cool signs.
Nice.
Some really cool signs made from shoe polish. So I'm excited to be here today. Like I said, Dean Edwards is going to be here. What I'm even more excited for are the big events that are going to be happening right here at Comedy at the Carlson. How about the roast battles?
Oh, yeah.
There they are, brother.
Boom.
What a better way to warm up on this cold season than over the burning bodies of your enemies. I think that would be a great way just to warm yourself. Yeah.
I love it. Just rub your hands over that nice, charred bodies of open micers fire. Listen, if you've never been to a roast battle before, it is very different than a regular comedy show. You get to see some up-and-coming performers. I won't call them open micers. That's almost like derogatory. But they are going to be going head-to-head with each other, like face-to-face, pa-pow, pa-pow, pa-pow. And here's the thing. You may not... You may be saying, why do I want to watch this? Because it's fun, okay?
It is
How would you describe this, Nick? It's like the Coliseum, right?
Well, kind of, because most stand-up comics are broken people, so it's just awful people getting to lash out at each other. It's amazing.
There are no victims here, is what we're saying.
So well-spoken. There are no victims. Only winners. And you're a winner if you get a ticket to come see us next Friday, the 24th, for the first preliminary battle. Show me the brackets, Nick. Show me the brackets.
Go to swing.
Ba-bam! Look at them suckers.
So the left-hand bracket's going on Wednesday. We got Tori Hoser versus Mike Edmondson, all these people. All the way down to the return of Matt Dalberth.
Not gonna lie. Waka. There's a couple here I cannot wait to see.
I like somebody said on Facebook, the Justin Brown-Ryan Henry match will be a special glimpse into hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be something to see.
That will be Schadenfreude encapsulated, I think.
Justin won last year, so he is the returning champion.
They might just be too baked in, both like Joe Rogan too much to actually do it, though.
That's true. They both just complimenting each other. You hear that one where Joey Diaz was screaming about that thing?
Yeah.
And then Joe Rogan told us all about these special medications that you could buy to fix your brain.
Then Justin will talk about libertarianism.
Right, then Justin talks about libertarianism.
No, he's moved to Bitcoin now, but that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing. All right, well, we're excited for the roast battles. We hope you will be, too. Let's talk about our sponsors real quick before Dean Edwards gets in here. Yeah. Iron Smoke Whiskey, baby.
Bam!
Woo. Bam! Way to hit the trigger, Nick.
You know, I have a cold. Whiskey. I have a cold. I should be drinking some of that.
Ooh, pounding it.
Listen, man, we got some Iron Smoke raining around the studio. We also got some, what else we got? We got some Three Heads beer in our studio, too. We got some Rochester Farian sitting in that fridge. Some
delicious
Scotch ale, man. Go for it this morning. It's Friday. Who cares?
Yeah.
Three Heads Brewing, I have to give them a special little plug. I was over there the other night shooting the shit with Jeff Dale, and they're doing this artists in residency thing for a month at a time. They're giving a local musician
I heard about that.
An opportunity to perform on Thursday nights, I believe, Each week, there's going to be a special show from the Artists in Residency on Thursdays at the brewery. So
that's cool.
Keep an eye out. There's going to be some cool stuff. Like last night, they did a salute to, I think, the 30th anniversary of Warren Zevon's Excitable Boy.
Oh, wow.
Which really is cool. One of the catchiest songs about a serial murderer ever. Just saying, if you've never heard it. Let's see. Let's move on. How about Sapori Cafe Catering? I got to tell you something. I'm already hungry.
Put it in me.
Yeah.
I've been hungry since yesterday thinking about Sapori. Put it in me.
That was an odd tone to say that phrase in, Nick.
I honestly feel like that should be the new slogan.
Sapori, put it in me.
Right in my belly. Powers Building Atrium downtown. If you are a business person, stick your head in there and get yourself some delicious food. Even if you're a homeless person.
Yeah.
Just go get some food.
Yeah, let's not go crazy. We go there.
Oh, shit.
Not sure
it.
I want homeless people.
Well, where are we going to find the homeless guy with the signs to sponsor?
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
At Sapori. Tennis Club of Rochester. Or your special event. They do catering, and might I recommend the catering? It is fantastic. They did a couple Christmas parties around these parts. Delish. You could also order on Grubhub. Find them on Facebook or Instagram at Sapori Rochester. And remember, Sapori, it's Italian for flavor.
Flavore.
That's not a real word, stupid.
I'm going to make it a word.
All right. Last but not least, maybe our favorite sponsors in the world, the good folks at Bad Drip e-liquids. Nick was telling me this morning, here's the thing. People don't realize Bad Drip also makes Clown. That's another brand. And Nick, you got some of that back there?
I do. I've been, I think, Crush. I like it a great deal. And as someone who spent too much time pounding orange soda in my childhood, it's like reminiscent of it. I like it.
I like orange soda. Yeah. One
vice to another.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. BadDripLabs.com, at BadDrip on Instagram. And they're available all over the place. They're made locally and they ship nationally and internationally. So no matter where you're listening to this, you could probably find yourself some Bad Drip if you had to a smoke shop. We are going to shoot it over, do a little commercial. And we'll be back with Dean Edwards in just a minute or two. Stay tuned.
What you're hearing, give us a like on Facebook, or you can go over to Twitter, find us at Comedy at the Carlson Cast. You can like or follow or tweet or read whatever they do on Twitter. But soon, just a second, let's send it right back over to our delightful host, Vinny Pauline.
Hey everybody, we are we're live. It's Friday morning in the studio with us. We said Dean Edwards was coming in, but aren't we happily surprised? Harris Stanton's here too, guys.
Stanton! Stanton!
Pete.
Charlamagne the guy has a list. Pete.
I had no idea you were on the shows this weekend, Harris, and now I'm going to be staying to watch one tonight.
Oh, cool, man. Cool.
Absolutely.
That makes me feel good.
way to build up our headliner's confidence.
I'm talking to Harris. It's good to see you guys.
Yeah, man, good to be here, Vinny.
I know this isn't your first time in town, Harris.
No.
Yeah, we worked together at the old club once.
Yes.
And Dean, this isn't your first time in Rochester.
No. My comedy career started in Rochester, man. At
really?
MCC. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I lived up here for 7 years, and when I was in college, I went to MCC, and I started in 92, February 21st, 1992. I was doing Fences, the play. August Wilson's Fences, and had been writing jokes for years, but you know with comedy, the hardest thing is getting on stage the first time.
And
so for years I was like, hey, and didn't know where or how, and then We had a late rehearsal one night for the play, so I went over a Wednesday night. They were having the like dress rehearsal for the or the walkthrough of the talent show Apollo night at MCC, and a friend of mine said, you know, I got on stage, started, you know, snapping, roasting, and my friend Kiki was like, you should get in the show. The show's in 48 hours. I was like, you know what, I think I'm finally just do it, and I came in second place, and
cool.
I'm still awesome. Chasing it high from that first show.
So many comedians like talk about how that first time really was just like, it's like chasing the dragon, man.
Yeah, dude. You know? It really is, because you never, because you know what, because it's like now we're all I won't say we're not long in the tooth, but we all know everything about it. You know, it was so new, so fresh, and that first rush of like, yo, this is working. And even if it's not, you know, how many people will come up to you after the show like, you know what, I always thought about trying comedy. I'm like, well, A, you don't try, you do. That's you to speak. But secondly, secondly, it's like, do it at least once. Have the courage to do it, because even if you catch an L, even if you bomb that first time, you know whether or not you want to conquer that beast and attempt it again. You know, that's what keeps.
And MCC's produced some pretty funny, like, local guys. Like, a lot of the funny guys are MCC.
The first comic I ever saw live, I think, was Ralph Tedda at MCC. Yeah. So Ralph used to host.
Yeah.
Host anyone that came through. And the first comic that I saw there was Lance Crowther. Lance Crowther, who
I know tours and
he writes with Wanda Sykes. He produces with Wanda. Okay. He was Pootie Tang.
That's
Lance Crowther was Pootie Tang. And so I saw him.
Is he from here?
No. He was just, you know, he was doing a NACA gig. A NACA gig. Tedda was hosting, and I remember running up. And years later, I was like, "Oh, that was probably the student activities coordinator that was walking with him." And I ran up to him, like people come up to me now. Like I was like, "Hey, man, I'm gonna do that one day. I'm gonna be a comedian. You were funny." And he was like, "Hey, man, you know, chase it, get on stage, do it." So that's why, like, he encouraged me. When I first started, I met Bernie Mac when he first came up here in like 92, 93, and he was encouraging. And I was fortunate enough that years later, I got to tell these dudes after I was, you know, doing some things that, yo, Bernie came up to SNL, and I said, man, you encouraged me, and I appreciate that. And same thing with, I was going to say Pootie Tang. Same thing with Lance. I saw him at New York Comedy Club years ago.
Did you ever run into Ralph at SNL?
I've known Ralph for years, and he, I think last time I was at the Comedy Cafe, Ralph was hosting or featuring that weekend.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was cool to
catch up.
Yeah, rock out with him.
Yeah, so, I didn't realize he had such a local connection.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, this is a homecoming, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anytime I come to The Rock, man, you know, I mean, Ippolito always rolls out the red carpet, and I have, you know, I was in the Army up here, so I drilled at the A-65th.
You were in the military.
Yeah, I was. The A-65th was right around the corner from the Comedy Club out in Webster.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so I used to go out there once or twice a month and get my BDUs on and you know, do the day, get my GI Bill.
Let's talk about something important real quick. How well do you feel that MCC prepared you for the real world?
Well, you know, the Brick Lounge. I mean, if I didn't go to MCC, I wouldn't have learned how to play spades. In the Brick Lounge. You know, I learned about that cold. The cold living, yo, like, y'all have mastered the art of below zero up here, man.
We certainly have.
Yeah. I remember the ice storm. It was like 92.
I was going to say, when you said February 92, I was thinking, I wonder if he was here for that ice storm.
Yeah, man. I didn't realize something that was so beautiful could be so dangerous and deadly.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I actually went out. Because what happened, the ice storm, it rained all day Sunday, and then the temperature dropped drastically overnight, and then Monday morning it was a state of emergency.
It was literally everything was an ice rink.
Everything was crystallized.
2 inches of ice on everything?
Yeah. Like power lines just had icicles hanging on them.
Were on the ground.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It was really dangerous, and it's, you could tell.
And I was driving out in it. I was taking pictures. that was the New York in me. I was like, this is awesome, man. I'm out there with a little 35 millimeter camera, and I was like, yo, this is awesome. Then I got home, and it said, I didn't know it was called the crawl until 9/11 hit, but you saw the crawl, please stay inside. It's a state of emergency. I was like, oh, I got some nice shots.
I wonder if I get these developed today. Maybe I'll wait.
Right.
Like, I feel that storm, in a lot of ways, like the fact that we're still talking about it, and we are a city like Rochester, New York, where it is incredibly shitty most of the year.
Yes.
It was a storm. That was like a legit, legit nightmare.
We lost power for 4 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah.
And we survived.
Now we have podcasts.
Ralph Tedda's alive. Yeah. We're all doing good.
Shout out to Tedda.
And in a couple of years, we won't have ice anymore. It'll all be gone.
About time. I'll vote for Trump again if we could do that. Just stay warm for a little while. I didn't vote for Trump the first time.
The way you said that in my mind, I was like, note to self, Vinny voted for Trump.
I could see the wheels in your brain. You're like, oh, I thought I was having fun, but I'm not so sure now.
The tiki torch wheel.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, it was cold that day, and
the flannel's really not helping, man.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, don't let the shirt fool you.
I got no defense for anything. I look like a white guy who's a problem. I get it. Harris, how are you doing, man? You've been traveling all over the place.
Yeah, man. I've been busy traveling all over the place and doing stand up, man. Living the dream.
Living the dream.
Tell them about your albums.
Oh yeah, I have a comedy album. Comedy album is out already. Came out November 3rd.
How high'd you go on iTunes, son? Let them know.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, man. I was on iTunes charts for a week, up there, number 6 once.
Hey, nice.
That's
a big deal.
Let me tell you something. This dude plays stuff down. I'm like, dude, number 6. That means you are above almost everybody. That's impressive.
What's it called?
Naive Innocence.
Naive Innocence.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like a play on that. I'm from South Carolina, and I was naive and innocent. I'm from a small town.
Yeah.
And I moved to New York and started doing drugs and smoking cigarettes.
All that good New York stuff.
You learned by immersion.
Yes.
How the world works. Yeah.
I just did Bill Burr's podcast out in Los Angeles, and I got a lot. That's what really got me shot up to number 6 on the iTunes charts.
Bill Burr's podcast is a kingmaker. Yeah.
Yes, a maker. I got 200 Twitter followers from doing Bill Burr's podcast. But it was cool, man. It's really cool. So if you got iTunes, if you don't, you should really get into the 21st century.
Yep.
But yes, get on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, all the social.
Do you have them here? Can people get them at the shows?
Yes, I have. I have.
Awesome. Another reason to come out tonight.
Yeah, man.
It's gonna be a thaw this weekend. Come outside.
Oh, dude, man, we had a blast last night, Thursday night. You never expect a crowd to come out on a Thursday, so I have no expectations for a packed house. It was packed last night, and we both got to get busy along with Dave. What's Dave's last name?
Abdosh.
Abdosh. Yeah, Dave.
David's MCN.
What's his last name?
Yeah.
Abdosh. Abdosh.
He's a fireman, right?
He's a fireman. Yeah.
What kind of last name is that?
Hard to pronounce.
Richard Pryor said, "What kind of last name is that for a nigga?"
what is it?
A B. D-O-C-H.
He told me once, and I can't recall.
He got something in him. He got some something in him.
Yeah. I think he...
They got some Arab in him. He look a little...
I don't know.
I think
he's like a big deal in the fire department, that guy. Like, he's a legit big deal.
He's the only brother.
Yeah.
He's the only brother.
I've rarely seen him. Anytime you... Yeah,
What'd you say? Why is it a big deal in the fire department?
Because he's his rank.
Okay.
Like, he's ranked, actually, high.
Yeah, man.
Like, people call him sir and stuff, which is probably why you guys are busy on a Thursday. It's like, get to the club.
Right.
You're all in trouble.
Whatever it took. Him and Weeze helped help the numbers drastically. I had a lot of people come up to me after the show like, yeah, we heard you on Weeze this morning. I was like, oh, wow, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
I think it's, I love Weeze, man.
Weeze is awesome. Cool. I met Weeze. I remember Weeze from when I lived up here and like he was like billboards and everything. Yeah. But then I met him this summer. I got SNL. He was up at Just for Laughs in Montreal,
right?
and just real, always been real cool gentleman, you know, towards me, and always very encouraging and supportive of what I do.
Yeah, he's been around forever. I think he's a vampire.
Yeah, yeah.
He did this show.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, yeah. It was weird having him out in the middle of the day. Hey, just was fading fast over morning show.
Yeah, man, that morning radio is that's a long... First of all, doing a daily of anything...
Four to five hours.
And people don't realize... And y'all know, obviously, just from doing your show, but people don't realize, like, people think entertainment is easy. And it's not tarring roofs in the summer in Arizona, but the strain, the mental strain, you know, like for us after a show, we were talking about this last week. We were at Gotham Comedy Club down in the city. And I said we did three shows on Saturday night. So you did 8, 12, and like 11:45. And it's one of the staff members said, "How you holding up?" I said, "You know, the show is fine," because I was probably doing like 70 minutes average per show, and then the late show you get to go a little long. But
sure.
I said the meet and greet is what drains you, because you're when you're on stage, you get to, you know, pretty much, even if you're improv and playing off the audience, you have a script to some extent.
A lot of crowd work is, you know, crowd work is between bits for a lot
of people. Right.
Yeah.
But after the show, where you know they have to move these people out and move this crowd in, and there's a line and they're passing and people are taking pictures, they're like, "Oh, I think that's the guy," and you're being polite and giving people energy and shaking every hand, taking every picture. That's the dream. And
you're sweating by the
end. The older I get, the more of a germaphobe I become. So I'm shaking these people's hands.
Yeah. I stay. As soon as I learned my lesson years ago, after the last hand is shook, and you know, say goodnights, and then go to the green room, I wash my hands immediately.
I want to be the first comedian who does a meet and greet with a glove on.
Right.
We gotta wait half an hour. We gotta change gloves at work.
Sure, Howie Mandel tried that at some point.
If anybody.
Yeah.
So, Dean, SNL.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you got on SNL?
How old was I?
Yeah.
Because
I know you started doing comedy in the 90s. You were on around 2000, 2001.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I had just turned. I got SNL, geez, maybe. That would have been like a couple of weeks before I turned 31.
Wow.
It was my birthday. I tested for them mid-July, and I booked it mid-July. My birthday is July 30th, so
yeah.
I had just turned 31 when I was actually on the show. It was awesome. It was just awesome summer, because I had just I had booked Mad TV first.
You're kidding me.
You know, I booked Mad TV for all the struggling comics out there, anybody that's listening, like, always, you know, sometimes you get something early, mm-hmm. and or get opportunities early. And if you're not ready for the opportunity, we talk about that all the time. Cats like being so hungry, you know, because like newer comics coming
and
up.
And even on the most basic level, if you're too hungry, you're gonna hurt yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you got it. Sometimes waiting is good, and I've had such. I auditioned for a sketch show that, remember UPN?
The
United Paramount Network.
Is that what that meant?
That's what it stood for, yeah.
I never had any idea.
United Paramount Network and the other channel was the WB. Those were the two alternatives to ABC, NBC, CBS.
Yeah.
And they had a sketch show that they were casting, mm-hmm. and Chappelle told me years ago, like after I did Def Jam, "Man, Dean, go to LA when they call for you. Don't rush. You don't need to go out there. Go when they call for you." And then they called. They wanted
you go
me
out
to,
there if you want to.
LA, let me tell you something. LA is batting 1,000. LA, Hollywood always wins. You know what I mean? And so they flew me out in, I want to say, maybe 99, 2000, maybe 99 for the sketch show that I don't think they probably shot a pilot. I stunk. I was awful.
Really?
I was terrible. Because I'd never... There's a format to...
You just haven't done that before.
So hold on one second. Let me backtrack one second on your background. you were doing mostly stand-up.
I was strictly stand-up. I was an actor, obviously. Like I said, sure. I was doing fences. But by 97, I quit my day job in 97. Mm-hmm. I'd done Def Jam in 95. And for 2 years, I was pretty much doing the Chitlin' Circuit, Urban Circuit, mm-hmm. in New York City. Because back in New York...
Which is terrifying,
by the way. Well, in New York City... Around 90, because of Def Comedy Jam, Uptown Comedy Club, BET's Comic View, the urban market really had boomed, and so right. the comedy explosion that popped in the 80s, mainstream really popped in the 90s for urban comedy, where comics that did Def Comedy Jam, and not the printing big money. Names like obviously the first two seasons of the Def Jam, whether you Bernie Mac, or D.L. Hughley, or Del Givens. They all became six-figure cats immediately.
Right.
Right? But then you had cats that didn't have as big names, didn't have as much time.
Sure.
But they figured out the hustle, and they said, you know what? I can go to a sports bar in Queens, the Manhattan proper. I can go to a sports bar in Brooklyn, Poknockers, or two steps down, mm-hmm. and I can tell them, listen, your Tuesday night is slow, but if you give me a budget, I can get comics that have been on TV... Mm-hmm. Come in here. You can charge a cover on a night that people aren't here. Charge $10 a head and give me the door, and you'll make money off the drinks, right? So it's a win-win. So next thing you know, they give them a budget for, like, I remember hearing one club that was, it was a restaurant. I don't know. I remember hearing they had like a $1,200 budget. Comics were getting the feature comic mm-hmm. would get maybe $75 because you were newer,
right.
and the headliner. That had like one TV credit, like Def Comedy Jam, they get $100. And the host was pocketing $800, $900.
Yes.
Right? And so.
God, I love this business.
Yeah, dude, but you are mad at it because as a new comic, I still have a book, there were like 40 rooms around the tri-state area in New York. So you'd go do a spot in an after work spot in Manhattan, sure. and then shoot up to the Bronx, and then maybe go, like Freddie Ricks was the king of that. You would do three spots a night, right. and get, you know, $200-$300, yeah. and that's what made me say, oh, I can quit my day job. So in 97, I quit, and then a bunch of the rooms shut down.
Right. That's what I was about to say.
You know, some bad you know the to best laid lands of bite
the best. The second a comedy market starts doing well, that's what things immediately.
Of course, man. And so... By the time that opportunity came, I was doing a lot of like I was doing mainstream and urban rooms.
Right. So you weren't doing any sketch comedy though.
No, I had no sketch comedy background.
So like when they auditioned you to go do a sketch show,
all I knew was my manager Jason Steinberg. Steinberg was like, yeah, you got to do three sketches and three characters. And I think most especially new comics don't realize anytime you go outside of your normal voice. Mm-hmm. On stage, you're doing a character.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
But then there are people that actually have characters that they've developed over time, and there's a difference between saying, yeah, so my mother would say, no, you're not, you know what I mean? That's a character yeah. or characterization mm-hmm. versus actually a fully developed character.
Yeah, like Mudbone.
Like Mudbone with Pryor. So right. I had characterizations that I made in, so I did like this... It was terrible, man. I remember I did this. Like,
do
this
you want to confess and tell everybody what you did?
One was like a devil character. It was terrible. It was terrible.
It sounds terrible.
It was. it really was. It was.
Don't take that from him.
It was awful, man. And I remember doing the audition, and DC Benny, I think, was out for it. He was the only New Yorker in LA with me, so I saw him. And I'm green, so I'm like, hey, after I leave, I was like, hey, guys, you know what? God bless. And I was just happy for the opportunity to be here. I'm saying this to all the other actors, all the other jaded sketch comic actors that are out there. And I remember this girl looked at me sitting, and she like, God bless. And I was like, what? And then I went back to New York. And
I'm with her. Gross.
And my manager, he was like, yeah, they really weren't. And they promised me the world. Like the audition was held at CAA, and this dude and got older guy, blonde hair, leather pants. I remember saying, "Why does he have leather pants? Like he's an aging rock star." But I think he was trying to sell me the whole Hollywood, "Hey, baby, we're gonna make you a star," yeah. and all this crap. Went back to New York, And I never had a problem taking constructive criticism. So when my manager told me, he's like, yeah, they didn't really have good things to say, because the producer's assistant, she was like ushering me through the whole process. Right. And Al Haymon, who became Floyd Mayweather's boxing promoter, Haymon was the producer of the show.
Really?
Like Al Haymon Productions, and Laya LaFleur was his assistant. Okay. And she was like, yeah. And the way they got me to go out there,
Al Haymon is a boxing promoter. Like.
But back then he was a big concert promoter, man.
Right.
He produced all the big concerts in the
90s. So he's thinking, if I get a sketch show on air,
yeah, because it was UPN. They did a lot of like urban programming for all the shows that had three names, three words in it. One on one, all of us, you know, and then the one named Moesha Eve. It was like black people, like three words or one word.
Didn't they have Reba? Didn't they have Reba?
No, that was the WB.
WB, yeah.
WB, they were like, we'll do black, but we can get the middle America.
America loves Reba.
Yeah, throw her in, right? There. And that was on for like four or five, so they were on a little long stretch, man.
I think Reba was just... I think it went somewhere else now. I thought it was back again.
They're
bringing Roseanne back.
Yeah.
That's an interesting project.
People know what they want. It's Reba.
I want to know.
No one wants to see Roseanne
again.
You said
Mad TV.
Okay?
I'm sorry. What was that?
I said no one wants to see Roseanne Barr's show again.
You know they can see you when you leave.
Number one, you're crazy. You're wrong.
I'm joking.
You're wrong. Completely wrong.
People like Roseanne like that?
But did you watch Roseanne when she was on?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
I thought that show was like brilliantly written.
Oh, really? It was Carsey Werner, so you know they knew how to put a good sitcom together.
I used to watch the show.
Yeah, but like, I mean, they really did a bad job with that last season. So
is that when they got rich?
Yeah, they won the lotto.
Yeah, you jumped.
Well, they got rich the last season?
Or yeah, she won the lotto and Dan died.
Right. So I'm like, how is Dan dying? How did he come back?
They're retconning that. That didn't happen.
Yeah, so
they what?
Yeah. They're gonna go older school sitcom. And
they're
go
gonna
popular.
Do like Dynasty. It was
all a dream.
Yeah, all a dream. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's funny.
What are you doing here? I thought you were dead. Right. Hey, back to the dream. That's my character. What do you think?
That's good that people can rise from the ashes, because Roseanne went from that to working at a wing spot telling jokes and back up to TV show.
Yeah,
she was on TV too. She did.
She was a
judge on Last Comic Standing, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
But she had a nice little lull where she was.
But that's Hollywood. Yeah. Peaks. Mel Brooks told me that years ago. Clubs. This is peaks and valleys, man.
You and Mel Brooks had a chat, huh?
Everybody don't have peaks and valleys.
Well, everybody ain't built for this.
Right, everybody's
not built for this. Mel Brooks is an Anne Bancroft's son, is a friend of ours.
Okay.
Shout out Max Brooks, author of World War Z.
Oh, right.
Harlem Hellfighters, Zombie Survival Guide. Max was my writing partner on SNL.
So he's like
my brother right there. Like that, one of the best things came out of SNL was our relationship. You know,
that's a beautiful cool. thing that you can like stay with someone. Because like, here's the thing. There's such a weird aura around SNL. Like everybody that leaves there says, "Oh, it was just a wonderful experience." But while everybody's there, they all want to kill themselves.
Yeah,
is that true?
No. Jay Moore doesn't say it was a wonderful experience.
That's true. Jay Moore is an exception.
Yeah, Janine Garofalo doesn't.
It is a pressure cooker.
Yeah, man. And, Harris was there because Harris, Tracy, when he and Tracy Morgan got cool,
I still got extra work on the show.
Yeah, Harris sometimes is on the air in the episode more than me. I was like,
I used to do a lot of extra work, and I never sat with the extras. You know, the extra sit.
Right.
I would sit in the dressing room, and then I would come down occasionally. Like, man, fucking extras.
So you were super extra.
Yeah, I was super extra. Yeah. You guys are peasants. I'm in the dressing room jerking off with Daryl Hammond and Tracy Morgan. Daryl Hammond will introduce us to new porn. You ever seen Slap Happy?
You should check out this one. Do you know what gaping is?
but to clarify, you just
made it sound like you, Tracy, and Daryl were sitting in a room jacking off together.
It's like that.
They would take breaks.
Tracy'd be like, "Yo, I'm gonna give you the dressing room for a half an hour. Beat your dick. I'm gonna come back. Then I'm gonna beat my dick." Daryl got his own dressing room.
Okay, it's beautiful. It's a system.
Yeah.
So like, Dean, you do. They get you on there. You're supposed to be doing characters and stuff, and you start. You realize that, you know, maybe I don't come up with original characters, but I could do impressions pretty well.
Yeah, is this going back in the story with or where I'm on SNL now?
I don't remember. Well, we've talked a lot, and I feel like I've gotten to know you.
Yeah, so you know, I'm just asking. I didn't have it, and so I took Second City had like a satellite course in New York, so I said, you know. I took the criticism constructively. I said I can't be in a position where I have an opportunity and I'm not prepared. So I said let me learn a little more about improv and sketch. I did that, and then Mad TV had auditions in May of 2001. And this time I said I gotta be smart about this.
So it took you a couple of years of planning.
It was about a year and a half, a little less than 2 years, and this is pre YouTube. But my manager got a copy of Jimmy Fallon's audition, so I watched Jimmy's, and I said his characters weren't super strong, but his impressions were banging, right? I said, you know what, just have three okay, play to your strengths. And so I said, you know what, if they give you 3 minutes, most sketch shows do a 3 minute audition, you have to do three impressions, three characters. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna do these three. I did like one of my characters was a cat. That his lips, his dubbing wasn't synced up properly. So I was like,
Michael Winslow.
So I was like, he talks and his lips move after the fact. You know what I mean? You know, right. And it was dumb, but it was enough to get some chuckles, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, but if I do a bunch of impressions, they're not gonna get mad if you do more than three, as long as you do it in a lot of time. So I taped myself. I wrote a little sketch.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Here's my impression of a black award show where Chris Rock and Chris Tucker are hosting, and Jay-Z and Erykah Badu do a duet, and then Denzel Washington and Sam Jackson present James Earl Jones' Lifetime Achievement Award." So I did. So just but
I
also
watch the show.
I also realized that when guys do impressions, they kill some of their time with the setup by saying, "And now, here's my impression of
it's always the turnaround.
Jerry Lewis."
Here's my Jack Nicholson.
I hate the turnaround, because I'm like, we still see you. We know it's still you, so what are you doing, dummy?
To just turn around and mess up their hair a little bit.
Right, right. So I was like, you know what, if I set it up all up top, then I can just go from doing Chris Rock to Jay-Z to Chris, you know, and now people are amazed that you're just bouncing back and forth. So I did that for the Mad TV audition, and a 3 minute audition turned into 10 minutes. Wow. And when I left, Donnell Rawlins, Ashley Larry, and Owen Smith, another funny comic slash writer on Blackish right now, I think, they were sitting in the waiting room. They were like, "Yo, youngin', everybody out here hates you." You were like, so long,
that's
right?
That's what you want.
Because she was so blown away by my impression. She was like, "Well, who else can you do?" I was like, "I don't know." She's like, "Steve Harvey." I was like, "Well, if I ain't never really done Steve Harvey, but I could figure it out, you know."
Right.
And I left, and right after I left, my manager called, said, "Yeah, they gave you a call back tomorrow." So that night I had a showcase, stand-up showcase.
Right.
And I was in such a good mood, killed. Next day I go back for the call back, killed. A week or two later, I'm shooting a KFC commercial. My agent calls. He's like, "Good news and better news. Good news is Mad TV, they don't want to screen test you. They want to offer you 6 episodes. I was like, I'm in. My lady was pregnant at the time. I was like, "So what's the problem?" And he's like, "Well, the better news is that night you had the showcase, people from SNL were in the audience." I was like, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "So what does that mean?" He was like, "Now I get to play," right? And so he got to play both against each other. And I was going to New Faces in Montreal at the time, and that summer. So it became do you get a deal from a network? Fox really wanted me. Uh-huh. Do you get a deal from a network? Do you go take Mad TV? Or do you do SNL? And in order to do SNL, I would have to say no to Mad TV, because obviously, SNL gets first refusal rights. And in order to screen test, you got to say nah. And so we had Mad TV on hold for like almost a month. And they were very patient. Shout out to Nicole Garcia and everybody up there in casting that was. And I had to go with what the suits would tell. I was following their lead, you know. So no hard feelings. And said no to SNL at one point. I
really?
because SNL, like, if you've ever heard some of the stories, like, they can take forever to give people an answer. And sure. I think Will Ferrell had, like, 4 callbacks before they finally hired him. And the situation we faced was, okay, do we have a guarantee with Man TV? And one of these networks, because my agent took that tape from that showcase, sent it around to all the networks.
Right.
And so I had buzz before I even went to Montreal. Okay. Do we get a deal from Montreal with a network where they give him $500,000, but he might not wind up on the air? Or do we say, you know what, we have Mad TV, so... My lawyer, Tom Oberman, was like, sometimes you got to have balls and you got to tell people no to get what right. you want. And he said, you know what? I said, so are you telling me say no? Because I didn't want to make the
right.
decision.
Right, yeah.
He's like, so you telling me say no? He's like, I'm not telling you to do anything. He said, I'm saying that sometimes you got to say no to get what you want. So and at this point, I'm stressed. So I said to my agent, all right, so just tell them no, because they're not going to kowtow to little old me. So we had a meeting with CBS later that afternoon. I went and grabbed some lunch, went back and met my agent at CBS. He walks in, he was like, they said they'll give us an answer in a week, because I was going to Montreal the following week.
You're kidding me.
They said they'll give you an answer within a week. That way that doesn't mess up any opportunities I might have up in Montreal.
For new faces.
But yeah. Now I have to say no to Mad TV, who's been so gracious and
right,
nice
right.
for the last, you know, for the last month.
That, I can understand that, why that would be a tough decision.
Yeah, because they were, honestly, man, they were nice. They didn't BS. Nicole Garcia, who was casting the show, she was like top of the line. And so I didn't know this was the norm. So I'm now feeling bad internalizing it. Not realizing this is just, you know, right. for the cause as far as business.
Yeah, for them, it's a Tuesday, and you feel right. like you've done a horrible
right.
thing.
The,
yeah.
You know, here's what happened. I guess Dean Edwards isn't in. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Right.
Right.
But I didn't know that.
I let them down.
Right, right. That's exactly what it was, man. And then to add to it, my buddy Kev, Lil Kev the Bastard, a.k.a. future Kevin Hart, Kev calls me. And he's like, yo, Dean, hey, Dean, man, I'm auditioning for SNL in 2 weeks. Can you help me with my audition? I didn't tell him. No, but he didn't know. My boy Todd Lynn, all my friends. The only person that knew I was going through all this was my buddy Ian Edwards, who was out in L.A.
Yeah.
And I was staying with Ian doing these meetings with these networks. So I had to tell someone. So I told Ian, my mother, and my fiance that I was going through all this. Nobody else knew. So when Kev asked me,
right.
I said, yeah, of course I can help you because you're my friend.
Sure.
You know, even though you don't realize we're competing. And then I had to tell him, I'll help you, but just so you know, I'm also auditioning yeah. for the show. But don't tell it. I don't want anybody to know, because I didn't want people coming up to me saying, yo, so what's going on? What did you get it? I was like, I'm internalized. Let me figure this out, and then whatever happens, because I don't want people coming up. Yeah, I knew you weren't going to get
yeah.
that.
Yeah. For me, I would have been like, well, you know, I got Mad TV. I just, you know, I'm trying to see what's going on.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
So, there's some feet and toes in the water. We're yeah. just yeah. we're chatting.
And you know what? I was confident going to SNL because I was like, Mad TV already liked me. And so I was confident. You know, it was like Denzel in American Gangster, where he's like, Blue Magic, that's a brand name. Like yeah. Pepsi, that's a brand. I stand behind it. I guarantee it. So I knew someone already liked the 3 minutes that I did. So yeah. now it's just a matter of getting over the hurdle of
just seeing if somebody else
had
likes
the
it.
People at SNL interested, and now they're like, who's this dude that said no to us? So now that was the only thing that was that kind of was daunting, was that
right?
That are they going to look at me like, are you just going to say no to us? We'll see. So, and they put
we
me on ice.
We need some coffee, Mr. Edwards.
Right, right, right. So I was, the day of the audition, I think Kev auditioned Wednesday, I auditioned Thursday, and there were probably like 12 people on the list. I was the last person. I got there at noon, and my audition wasn't until like 5:30.
Wow.
And so I was sitting in Anna Gasteyer's dressing room all day on ice. Like, and I was like, hey, we were just talking about this last night. I don't like getting to a comedy club an hour before. If the show starts at 7:30, get me there at 7:25. I don't sure. want to sit on ice. I'm not nervous. It's just anxiety. I'm anxious. It's like I just
I know a lot of comics this. That are like that. A lot of comics that are like that, and some are the opposite. I got to sit there for an hour
and
feel a vibe. If
me too.
When I first started comedy, for about 10 years, I get there early and feel the vibe, but now I'm finding that as I get older, I just want to get to the show maybe 10 years
before. Well, you realize I am the vibe.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right. And that's exactly what it is. It's like, you're going to, y'all are, I'm bringing you comedy, but you're coming to my world.
I'm also, I'm at the same school with you. I would love to just be there, you know, show up at showtime and go. Because in a way, you're also going to not let anything that's happening in the room affect your vibe either.
Yeah. I need to get there at least time enough to have two drinks and a cig.
Okay.
It's about 10 minutes.
Right.
Two drinks and a cig, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
The name
of
this episode.
Exactly. Sounds like a dude. That'll be the show. It's the, like, Seinfeld has comedians in cars getting coffee.
Harris Stanton has two drinks and a cig.
A shot and a beer and a cig. Let's
you
go.
Should really name it that.
That's my pre-show
two drinks and a cig, 10 minutes with Harris Stanton. That should be the name of it.
Dude.
That would be pretty good.
It was born here.
Yeah. I call it producer credit.
Boom.
Brian, you get nothing. So, like, when you start doing impressions, what was the first one you did? And can I compliment you by saying I think you're the only human being that does a Denzel imitation that I've ever seen.
No, you're the only one that's heard the real person that does Denzel do Denzel. There are a lot of people that do Denzel now.
Aries Spears do it a lot.
Aries is the only cat I ever saw do it before seeing me do it.
Okay.
Right.
So you inspired people who said they could do George Bush after Dana Carvey kind of thing.
Yeah. What happens is whoever does it first found the nuance. Mm-hmm. And with Denzel, it's you know, his S's. So listen. When I say something to you, and then his hand, he moves
his hand.
Hand
all day. Hand, all he does is move his hand.
Is always he got that from. He said, I learned how to use my hands from watching Al Pacino. You know, he's coming up as an actor.
Yeah,
he was a fan of Pacino.
I remember him saying
from
that
an
interview.
from a Barbara Walters special that I remember from '92, the '92 Oscars, which I guess aired that would have been '93 maybe.
Sure.
But he said when Barbara Walters said, "Now you're nominated against Al Pacino for Son of a Woman,"
right?
Not Pacino's most brilliant acting role.
He still won.
Yeah.
But he won. And so Denzel said, he was like, listen, I want to win. He's like, but, you know, I know how the Oscars work, and I know that Pacino's been nominated for 4 times previously and never won. He was like, I'm nominated for Malcolm, and it's something that's there and true to my heart because I played this role on off Broadway, mm-hmm. and so I got so if you watch Son of a Woman now and you compare it to what Washington did in Malcolm X,
mm-hmm.
you'll say, oh, clearly Malcolm X. But
right.
Oscar and most of the Hollywood, they do the we messed it up previously awards.
That like Scorsese winning for The Departed.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is still a great movie, but
it's also a remake.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. And so Denzel said, you know, in that interview, he said, you know, I want to win, but you know, I watched Pacino coming up as an actor, and he's one of the guys that I said, oh, I watched how he used his hands, and so which was interesting to hear that someone that's at the top of their game was inspired by somebody else, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get, when people do impress, I mean, Godfrey, I just saw a good friend of mine, Godfrey, I've known 20-some mm-hmm. years, and Godfrey was on Vlad TV and was doing an impression of Denzel, and Godfrey was like, you know what? I gotta give credit. Shout out to my man Dean Edwards because he was the first guy. He was the first guy that did Denzel, and then we all were like, okay. You know, and most people.
It's really the hand movement, but you have the voice. You really have the voice. There's a trail off.
Thank you.
There's a lot of little nuances.
There are nuances. There's a comic. I ain't gonna blow up his spot. Who his name is, but
do it.
Tracy Morgan. Like when people
blow
do Tracy.
Spot.
The problem with people.
I love Craig Gass, but your Tracy Morgan needs some work.
So this is a while ago. This is probably almost a decade ago, and I did. once again, I don't do people because I'm trying to do impression. If I'm around somebody long enough, they're nuanced. They're things that he'll mimic me, and I'm like, oh, I do that, you know. Right. And then the things that Harris does that I pick up on.
Yeah.
So with Tracy, when I first started doing impressions, Tracy, it wasn't because I was trying to find a new
bit. It was
because
we were hanging out.
It was
with
just we're hanging out, and I noticed, you know, that Tracy. Yeah. You know, Tracy has a certain, you know, movement. He's like, when he's saying something to you, he's emoting.
Yeah, I can do a good Tracy.
He can do a good Tracy.
You did a good Tracy earlier.
Because he's around him.
I would like to see, if it's at all possible, dueling Tracy's.
You want
to? Can we make that happen? Yeah, let's do it.
Do it, Papa. You know, whatever you need, I got you. You ain't going to do it?
Do what, Dean? My name is Tracy Morgan. I can't do it. Put me in the
spot. Oh, come on. I know, you know what's funny? If you
he does this all the time. If you haven't put me on the spot, he does this all the time, so he's good at this. You can put me on the spot.
Brian, do your Tracy Morgan for
Gina. We've learned that. No, we've learned that's not a good idea for me to do impression.
but Tracy has, like, even from you know, his face, there's a way he holds his face. Mm-hmm. There's a way he moves.
Yeah.
You gotta be good. You have to aspire greatness.
What you're doing, what you are doing right now, sir, is what's
a mating call.
That's a mating call. That's a speed bump. That means slow down when you go down. Slow down when you go down.
What you are doing is what separates you guys from other people who do imitations.
Right.
It really is. You take it to another level. You become that person in mannerism, and that's probably got a lot to do with your acting background, right? Do you ever just put yourself into "I'm that person" right now?
You know what? I don't. It's not something I haven't thought about.
It's probably just a talent.
It's know. Just. It's just.
Yeah.
You know, when people will ask
Eddie
me
Murphy's
all the time,
the same way. You just pick up.
Yeah,
all,
people ask like
to pick up everything.
Yeah, they're like, so how do you get impressed? I'm like, if most guys that are good from Caliendo to even regardless how people feel about Aries is dope. Pharaoh's dope. Afion Crockett, who will be in a couple weeks, is dope, you know? And these all dudes, what is your mimic power? It's your superpower.
Sure,
so
sure.
Growing up,
all right.
If the first impression I ever did was probably Bugs Bunny,
right?
You know, just because I was like, oh, that's I heard it, and I didn't sit there practicing.
I know it's talent because I can't do it,
right?
You know, and you picked up on that, and next thing you know, girls are laughing, and you're like, oh, what?
I like this. You realize you get some pussy.
Is there any particular imitation that you really wish you could do that you can't? That you just wish you could do?
Nah. No, because if I like... Because I...
No, he's
I
very good nothing, at it.
You never look at one and go, oh man, I really wish I could do it. I could do something funny with that. You no. just let it happen naturally is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, here's the other point. If I do... Like, the other day, I just start... I've done Willem Dafoe for years. With Willem Dafoe, I'm a stand up first, right?
Sure.
The impressions are just my natural gift, but I am a studied stand up comic that came up with the likes of Todd Lynn and Patrice O'Neill and Rich Voice. I wanted their approval. I wanted Billy Burr. I still call him Billy, yes. I wanted Billy Burr...
You might be the only person to ever admit that they wanted Rich Voss's approval on anything, but that's cool.
Nah, but you know
I love Voss very much.
I love Voss, and I came up and was a fan of him. I was a fan of Colin. I was a fan of DePaulo. I was a fan of Geraldo and friends with these cats. But while we were sitting in the back of Boston Comedy Club watching them, when I went on stage on a Tuesday night at Boston Comedy Club where there are... seven people because Chappelle just came through or whoever was the big name just came through and did a guest spot and then all the NYU students left and now you have a drunk dude that's masturbating under a table and a couple that just stumbled in there. You know, the comics were the people that you were wanting to approve and so Jim Norton said, shut up, stupid, you stink. Right. Stop doing Michael Jackson. It's a Tuesday. No one cares, you know? Right? You know what I mean? But that's what made me say, okay, I got to go deeper than the natural ability.
Right.
You know,
right.
Kev used to go on stage, dancing, and Patrice like, Kev, what are you doing?
Patrice do phone books.
Yes, yes, but that's how you
stand on those, midget. Yes.
Kev, you stink. Keith Robinson in the back. Kev, why? Why are you doing that? No one cares that you're dancing. There's not a DJ in the back of the room. You know what I mean? And so those are the dudes that we were seeking their approval as stand-ups, you know? Yeah. So if I have impressions, for years my wife was like, why don't you do something with he passed away. I can't think of his name. He overdosed. Jeez, not
Philip Seymour.
Philip Seymour, who's from up here,
Rochester native. Yep. Yeah,
Philip Seymour, and we had the same agent at one point.
No fool.
Paradigm. Had the same dealer too.
No, not at all.
Clearly not. Philip Seymour Hoffman. What's his name? I already got in big time trouble for joking about having the same dealer. Philip Seymour Hoffman, when he was on Stern,
did he
made a joke about it. Like, I got the same dealer, and like the FBI started like, who was it?
So that's hilarious, man.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm not telling you.
He was joking. Like,
right. But someone was a fan of Stern and heard it, you know?
So, like, this could be. They could travel in the same circle.
He was joking.
Right.
Yeah. So somebody, the FBI will be waiting for you at your hotel room.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But if I don't have a joke to go with an impression, I'm not doing it.
Right.
I can't just have people like, wow, you really does sound like. Yeah. I want people like, yo, that's a funny. Because that's what a lot of guys that do impressions. I'm pissing on lazy comics. I'm like, yeah, either you're an impressionist or you're a stand up that happens to have impressions. Jay Moore is a stand up, but he has some brilliant impressions.
And Kevin Pollak, guys like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Any joke that he has comes from a real organic place, and the joke can stand alone. Like me, if I, like last night, I had already done, I've been challenging myself where I was like, you know what, I used to only do Denzel at the end of my set because I knew a lot of people wanted to see that,
right.
So that was like the coup de grace, the grand finale. But I started working on this new bit lately where it's like an impression, a run of a bunch of impressions, and I did it last night, and I did them in the middle, and then I closed out at the end, and it hit me while I was doing the joke at the end. I said, you know what, this shows the strength of the actual bit.
Right.
That the bit itself is funny, and the impression just helps sell the bit even more.
I feel like, you know, too many people who do impressions get drawn into, that's the centerpiece of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it's refreshing to hear someone say, no, it's about the jokes and the material.
Yeah, so you write the joke first and then learn the impression.
As for me, I know there are people that do that and make great livings.
Bunch of hacks.
You know, and it is hacky. Well, to me, this is a perfect example. To me, it's hacky to do to get into your impressions by saying, man,
that's the one.
What if, like, I'm just give throw anybody at me. Like, what if
Michael Jackson
was a janitor? What would that be like?
Not at a school.
Because in my
waka waka.
Because in my
hashtag
mind,
too soon.
As probably also because I'm a comic, but in my mind, I'm like, well, Michael Jackson wouldn't be a janitor. So that's a dumb setup. That's a dumb premise. You know, what if Chris Rock...
It wasn't dumb the first time it was done. It became dumb 30 years when
the
everybody else
was doing it.
Right. What if Chris Rock and Denzel were substitute teachers? What would that be like? And then you're going to... Because what you're going to hear is not a fully formed idea or joke. It's going to be a bunch of quotes from a Denzel movie.
Yep.
Put in that situation.
Yep.
And so now people aren't really laughing. They're just, you Cage, you're going to get an order. You know what? And then he throws the eraser at King Kong. Hey, guy. And you're like, oh, he does. Wow, he does sound like Denzel Washington if he were taking Training Day. And
wish I went to that school.
Right. and then even Denzel, I saw him in an interview. Someone was like, yeah, people are doing impressions. He was like, they're not doing impressions of me. They're doing impressions of a character I did. And most people, when they do Denzel, they are doing an impression of him in the movie Training Day. They're not...
Sure.
Daryl Hammond broke it down to me years before I even knew what it was that I was doing. He said, he's like, no, you know what, Dean? He said, most guys are just doing... doing characterizations. He was like, what I do, I like watching people in interviews. I said, dude, I tape people. I'm a fan of entertainment. So I like what that Barbara Walters interview I still have on tape because I would watch that just because it was interesting. You know?
Yeah.
And I like hearing people's sort of backstory. Daryl would record, he would have research on SNL, bring him tapes of heads of state, Al Gore, and he'd watch Al Gore in 60 Minutes and watch all of his nuances and how he doesn't move his neck until he leans forward, you know. Right. And that's not even something that's just from me going back to my file cabinet. I just watched an Inconvenient Sequel and I realized, not even noticed it, but it's just as I'm doing it right now, I'm like, he leans back and forth and then he smiles and he's very stoic again.
He has a way
and everybody has a way.
His processor can only handle so many functions at once.
I guess we learned a lesson here today. We learned that impressions are not just voices. There's nuance.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And they're not about
nuance.
The silly situations. It's about the funny.
And it can be, but for me, I never want anybody to say, "Yo, he's hack." Because then you're insulting my process. You're insulting the okay. And a little bit of construction. It's
apparently.
Okay.
Hey Nick, you want to go?
Closing that door is not helping.
No.
Oh my God! Yeah, it sounds like they're doing some construction in the hallway. But
these things happen.
Harris Stanton's going to be here with Dean Edwards for four more shows this weekend.
Who is a headliner in his own right?
He is a headliner in his own right. Harris, while you're here, can I ask you real quick? You were in the accident, right?
Yes.
You were in the accident. How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Back to normal.
Accident with Tracy Morgan, for those that
That's the
know.
One. Yes. That's the one. I'm a pronoun. I know.
It wasn't a little... He peed himself.
He had an accident. It was terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
You were in the terrible accident with the Walmart truck with Tracy Morgan.
Yes.
And it escapes me, because who was the comic who passed away?
Uncle Jimmy Mack.
Uncle Jimmy Mack.
That's right.
Yeah. Good dude. Real good dude.
That's right.
I've known him for years.
So you're doing okay, Tracy. Is doing okay.
Everybody's doing good, man. I mean, I don't know what kind of recurring problems those guys have.
Right.
I know Artie has a limp, you know.
Right.
I don't even get problems with my wrist anymore.
Artie was supposed to come up here this week.
Yeah,
oh, no fool.
Almost had two guys in an accident.
Yeah, that was
one of them could have sat on
your
lap.
He's back on the road with Tracy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So.
Lucky you, Harris.
Not bitter. You're with me. Sorry.
That's how Brian Ball feels every time.
Yep, every time.
That's how he feels.
Here's the thing.
Artie was supposed to do.
Artie Fuqua, right?
Artie Fuqua, real good dude, funny comic. Artie hit me not a month ago. Artie hit me about a month ago. And he said, he was like, yo, you know, I'd love to get back out on the road with you guys. And Artie's doing is financially very comfortable right now from Walmart. And so he said, you know, I'll fly myself. And I was like, hey, dude, the more the merrier. You know, we'll get you on these shows. And so I had him on. We just did Denver 2 weeks ago. Gotham Comedy Club in the city last week, and we're here at Comedy at the Carlson in Rochester. So Artie was on with us in Denver. We left on Wednesday because they were taking us to a Nuggets game. Artie was like, "I'll fly out Thursday," and then the cyclone blast was
hit
New York City, so he couldn't make it out to Denver.
Uh-huh.
Then as I posted my poster for our week at Gotham. I'm one of the few headliners that actually will include his crew on the flyer with him because we all are getting shine, you know what I mean?
So I get to the point.
Huh? What'd you say?
Get to the point.
But I also is to the point where, like I said, he's a headliner.
Harris almost died once. He wants to live his life.
Of course, and I am not mad at that, right? And I said that to you recently. I said that time is coming where, you know, he's not going to want to go on the road because he's headlining his gigs as well. So Artie, after I put the post up with the two, with all three of us on, Artie hit me. He's like, "Yo, remember I told you I had to speak to you?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah." Long story short, Tracy asked me to go back out on the road with them, and we're doing Vegas and Tahoe this weekend.
Way warmer.
Way warmer.
Yes.
Way more money, mm-hmm. you know. And so I got it, but I was disappointed. So then afterwards, and I felt bad because Harris was with me when Artie called and told me, and he was like, "Hey, so what were y'all talking about?" I was like, "Yeah, so here's the thing. Tracy asked Artie to go back out, and I know you're stuck with me, but I said, don't worry. Tracy will take you for me too." And then, and I said, "We'll probably be like hanging out at the Comedy Cellar," and Tracy be like, "Oh, dude, what's poppin'? What's good? What y'all up to?" "Oh, man, we going on the road. We got a gig this weekend." Next thing I know, I walk away, and then Harris, and he's like, "Yo, Harris, what's up, Papa? What you up to? What you doing this weekend?" He's like, "Oh, man, I'm going out. Dean and I, we're going to Rochester." "Oh, word, I got 4 G's for you, but you know, go ahead. You know." And I walk away, and next thing I know, Harris is like, "Hey, Dean."
I mean, I love Tracy, but it's not like I would rather be on the road with him because he's a great guy to hang out with.
Right.
But 4 G's is 4 G's.
Exactly. Yeah. So I get it.
Listen, I would like to offer you Brian Ball. You could take him with you. When Harris eventually flakes out, you can take Brian.
All right.
Please, please take Brian. Four more shows, Dean Edwards and my man Harris Stanton.
What's your social media, dude?
Let's do that right now.
Harris Stanton, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Right.
Dean Edwards.
I'm an easy find.
Right. And I'm at IAM and then Dean Edwards, @IAMDeanEdwards, because that's who I am. Rochester, come out and check these shows out, man. We're going to light fire under the stage, man. And then the show is a great contrast, man. I love the...
I'm not going to light any fires.
Yeah, yeah, you will. Like I said, Harris
spark,
is a headliner.
Spark.
Harris is a headliner. Harris, here's what's funny. I know a lot of comics that would have stopped bringing Harris on the road with them 5 years ago out of fear, because they don't like
to be honest with work. You, when I heard you were middling for Dean, I was a little worried for you, Harris. I was like, "Oh, is he okay?" Like, no, nothing personal. I was just like worried for you. Yeah, like, no, but I've worked with you. I've seen what you do.
Well, what it is, Ippolito is probably one of the best guys in the world.
I was just gonna say
told Ippolito, he said, "Yo, I want to bring you a Dean." I said, "Dude, I'm a headliner. I headlined last time." He goes, "Well, you know," I go, "the difference between feature and headliner, fuck the time, it's the money."
Right.
So, right. You get headliner, I'm getting headliner money for feature.
Yeah. So. As good on you, Mark Ippolito, because Mark Ippolito is making sure
that
Rochester gets, and you guys, y'all are making sure that y'all get, like, that fire show this weekend. And with Dave, who did a great job last night, I should say, these shows, I'm looking forward to it.
And you got to be honest, like, there's not a lot of club owners that are going to do that.
There are no club owners.
So all I'm going to say as someone, you know, who works at Comedy at the Carlson every week doing this great show, please buy tickets this weekend.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
That would be great. And guys, thank you so much. You're going to light
thank
on
you
fire for, tonight.
Thank you. Yes,
I'm
we're
looking
awesome.
Forward to a show.
And check out my podcast. Harris was just a guest on the Father Muckin Protocol on SoundCloud and iTunes. The Father Muckin Protocol. Harris was just a guest last week. We're 147 episodes deep, and we've had everybody from Big J Okerson, Judah Friedlander, Ted Alexander. Like, the interviews I like having on, like, the comics, you know, comedians that get respect. Might not like Alexandro's on tour with Gaffigan. They're overseas right now. And Ted is a headliner. You know what I mean? Ted is a headliner, but Gaffigan's at a level where he's selling out Madison Square Garden. So Ted's like, "Hey, man,
make headliner money if you're playing Madison Square Garden.
But you'll make a headliner money when you roll with big dogs. Like
I'm just waiting for my invitation.
Coming. You got to believe in yourself.
What did Dave Chappelle say? Wait for L.A. to call?
Wait for L.A., man. Wait for them to call you.
Y'all gonna get some bacon now?
Yeah, let's do it. Hit the credits, baby.
All right.
Thanks, y'all. Thank you.
Thank you.